And what I've learned early on is there's a difference between, for example, believing God is your healer and knowing God is your healer. See, you know God is your healer. The only way you know that is you have to get sick first. Amen? You don't know. See, I tell one person, came up to me and said, "Bishop, you got to pray for me. Everything's being taken away. I lost my job. I lost my car. I've got a relationship. It's like everything." Pray for me. I said, "You probably prayed this prayer. Lord, I want nothing but you." Amen? How many of you prayed that prayer? "Lord, I just want to trust you with all my heart." Well, here you are. It's an answered prayer. I'm serious. See? Because you never really know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you got. See, ministry is a no plan B program. It's only plan A. And some guys are struggling because they're holding on to a plan B. Well, and it's a good plan. Usually plan B is a better plan than plan A in terms of comfort. That's why you don't want to give it up. But it's God's moving. And I learned in the midst of that, and I still believe this with all my heart, because I know, see, my plan B was I could have stayed in the Episcopal Church and I'd be retired right now with a really, really, really good pension. One of the best pension plans in America is held by the Episcopal Church. But God's plan was different. See, what God told me back in the midst of the battle says, "Craig, I don't care what you do, but you can't be lukewarm." That you can't do. You can stay in the Episcopal Church and do that plan, or you can go someplace else. And that's when the CEC came into my life. And what brought me into the CEC was not Convergence Worship, believe it or not. We were in Convergence Worship. There's plenty of people in ACNA, Anglican Church in North America, and various other things that are Convergence Worship people. You can go to their church, and they're sacramental. They're good people, love God. Their presiding bishop is a great man of God. That's why I say it's not just us, just everything. But what brought me into the CEC was that there was nothing lukewarm about it. There was nothing lukewarm. It was all in from day one. Day one. There was no recruiting. You were either in or out. If you're out, loved you. But if you're in, you're in. And it drew me that it was a group of men and women who were going to live that out in these times. And it was a message. It was a message that was to change the culture around us by being a different culture. But being light in the midst of the world. It excited me that the CEC had part of its birth in jail, defending the unborn. That's what drew me in. And I don't believe any of that has changed. I believe that the CEC is a move of the Holy Spirit. Hasn't changed. Hasn't changed because it's difficult now. And that's why I won't leave. Because I don't know about you, I want to be doing what God is doing. That's what I want to do with my life. There's not much left of it. So I want to make sure that I'm just doing what God's doing, that I'm a part of that. And I believe that God has not changed his mind about us. He's done a lot of things in us, but he's not changed his mind about us. He hasn't changed his heart about us. Nothing's changed. And he's got us ready for such a time as this. That was the theme of the second, I think it was the second convocation. And John, for such a time as this. And with all that stuff going around, again, don't say, I'm not saying it's the CEC, but what we're a part of, this recovery of an ancient path that's evangelical and charismatic, that actually thinks the Holy Spirit moved prior to the 16th century, that actually is willing and risking to read church fathers, you know, that with names that we can't pronounce, and understand that God was working there, and that that message is the same today and yesterday and forever. It's the message of the faith. And are part of that. I believe God has us living in very interesting times in America. And the shift, there's a shift, like I said, that's taken place. I don't understand the charismatic mindset. I was, my first spiritual directors were Benedictines. And one of the charisms of a Benedictine, if you haven't figured out just by the years that I talk about, is stability. When you enter a Trappist monastery, the first thing you do is dig your grave. And you know where you're going to be buried. There it is. And you just stay. You just stay the course. You just stay in place because you believe God has called you. And it gets hard and difficult and challenging. And things happen. See, I want to tell, you know, the Bible was written for Christians who don't get along. read the letters of the Bible, all because, you know, Paul has to tell people not to gossip. Why? Because they were gossiping. God had to talk about the fornicators because they were fornicating. You just don't bring that stuff up. That's all going on in the church. But nobody left. You stayed in. He said, he taught about reconciliation because we need to reconcile. I don't understand that charismatic mindset. The Lord's leading me here. The Lord's leading me there. Lord, you know. You have to live out so that, because God works in generations. God doesn't work in 5, 6 years or so. He works in 40, 50, and even beyond that. And it's why it needs to get passed on. See, I believe that about marriage. We're going to be married this coming Sunday. We'll be married 45 years. And now, people say, Bishop, how did you stay married 45 years? You must pray together every day. I said, nope, we really don't. Yeah. Well, you must have unity. No, we don't have that a lot either. I disagree with my wife about a lot of things. She disagrees with me too. We have totally different spiritualities. I'm a morning office, daily office, sit down with the prayer book, prayer list in hand, and go. I can do it without the book. You know, just been doing that. My wife lights candles, has mood music, reads Oswald Chambers. We'd be divorced if we prayed together. So I just smiled during that part of the lecture on marriage. You know? Now, know why I'm still married after 45 years? I decided not to get a divorce. I just decided to stay. And she decided to stay. And in that staying, in that stability, and in realizing that God called us together, and that we just weren't going to let anyone put it asunder, including us, that I'm more in love today than the day I took my vows. I know more about love and what love's about, and still learning. You follow me? I think that's true of the church. That's true of the church. That stability, that charism of stability. I don't understand the my ministry mindset. See, unfortunately, there's sort of too many people that are like, the people exist so you can be a priest. Yeah, so it's my ministry. And fathers who, see what it's like fathers who drive their kids into a dangerous neighborhood and leave the car. Well, I don't understand that at all, that because it's only the ministry of Jesus. He's the only one who's supposed to get the glory in all of this. It's his ministry. We're taking part in his ministry. He's not taking part in our ministry. You see? No, Jesus didn't... You didn't invite Jesus into your life. He invited you into his life. Do you get the difference? It's participation in his life. That's what ministry is about. See? And there's people out there, there's people out there, they don't like me and I'm nice. Well, Jesus was the nicest person that ever walked the face of the earth and they killed him. And people betraying you. Yeah, they betrayed him. You're participating in his life. See, so you're going, you should be, they're rejecting me. Hallelujah! They rejected my Savior, my Lord. Yeah, it's his ministry. And our ministry is for them. They're not ministering for me to have a ministry. Got to get that in our head. You'll be frustrated. And Jesus is also not into success. I don't understand that successful ministry either. God, Jesus had a crowd of 5,000, preach it down to 3. See, from that mindset, the cross is a failure. Jesus isn't into success, he's into faithfulness. Am I faithful in what God has called me to do? I got this guy, I won't mention his name, but I have a hard time putting the one little cross in front of my name, you know, but I know it's tradition. I just go along with some things because things are bigger than I am. But this guy puts 4 crosses. He just sent me a letter, and here's his title. This is how he ends the letter. It's a signature with 4 crosses. The Most Reverend Cardinal, MAMDIV DMIN LIT DD, Patriarch of the denomination, Metropolitan of all of Europe, Archbishop over something, and Bishop of whatever. He has 4 members. And an auxiliary bishop. This guy needs medication. But there's one town in one of our dioceses. Town has 4 bishops in it. 4 bishops. Town has a population of about 3,000. It's like declaring yourself the president of the United States and not having a country. What are you bishop of? But it's about them. It's about them. That somehow if I can get the title, I'll get respect. See, because that, you know, people call me Father. And you'll get a lot of that walking around New York. Yes, Father. Yeah, Morning, Father. Other adjectives in front of it as well. Because people will give you the same respect that they give a cemetery. Because they're just taught to respect you. But it doesn't mean anything. Because it's not about that. See, I'll just end on this. If you took vows to be a priest or a deacon, it was not just to the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. You took vows within the life of the CEC to live under her canons, her catechism, and her sacramental, charismatic, and angelical worship life. And nobody said it was going to be easy or good or you were going to be successful or you were becoming anything than what you already were. In fact, usually I tell bishops what you should be ordaining people is something that they already are, not to ordain them to become something. And the primary thing you look for is faithfulness, not ability. God can take a faithful person and make them able and train them up. But he can't make an able man faithful. Title won't do that. Only God works that in our hearts. We'll just take a 10-minute break and come back, and we'll begin to look at this cultural shift that you're called to minister in.